Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, we get with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka. And it's awesome. Brother Johnny is in Houston, I think.
Houston, Texas.
Yeah, hey, Houston, Texas, and Mike on the road, Denver, Colorado, where it's pretty warm out there, huh, Mike?
Yeah, I got the 90s today, and it's very dry. They need rain badly.
And you inspired the, what was it, Terminex guys? Is that what you did?
Yeah, they put on quite a show. It was pretty interesting, and I was part of it. The thing ran all day. I started with them at 5:30, and we just finished, it's been a long time.
Well, that's great. The Terminex guys, they're important folks.
The power of the pest. The extinguishers.
All right, we begin with Barack Obama not taking the advice of General David Petraeus and taking 33,000 troops out of Afghanistan. I mean, we hope and pray it works, Mike, but boy, it feels a little risky.
Well, you know, but I think, again, Steve, you know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I mean, I don't have the answer, and I don't think any of us do. I just know that whether you're the president or you're not, when you hire military advisors, you should listen to them. Now, I understand what he's doing, but, you know, therefore, he's trying to appease so many people. Now, even the liberals are not happy with this because they're not coming out fast enough. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I don't know the answer to any of this. I don't think anybody knows, but it seems a little risky when you go against what your generals tell you.
Well, and I think that, you know, we were over there basically for one purpose. The strategy might be questioned. I don't know about nation building, but it's to protect us from being attacked. And these men and women have done that job. We've been protected for, it's had the effect that we've wanted to have. And I don't think it's over. So to leave, I don't know whether that protection goes on. One thing I don't like is kind of an announced date of withdrawal. I mean, if you want to start pulling out, you don't need to tell anybody when and where you're doing it, because that's encouraging who's ever against you to just, well, see, we'll wait till June and they'll have a few people over here, and then in December they're taking some more out of there. I just don't think that would happen. I've never liked the idea of announced stage withdrawal to tell the enemy what you're going to do.
You know, it's just like playing hide and seek and telling the guy where you're hiding. Come on. you don't do that stuff. I mean, you're right. I think, you know, you're getting bad advice somewhere, and that's all I'm saying. But, you know, nobody wants to be in Afghanistan or Libya or anywhere over there. But, you know,
no question about that. I don't think anybody wants to be.
The reason for it, political correctness is not the answer. You know, you try to do the positive thing. You try to do this. You try to do that. You try to appease the people on the left, on the right. Well, you can't do that. You got to do what's right.
I think
here's the result. Here's the bottom line. It's kind of like Libya. What's the bottom line? Gaddafi's in charge. What's the bottom line over there? Taliban will take back over. That's right. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's not going to work. So we've done our job to this point. Now we're walking away, and I don't know if that's the strategy we want to have. So in any case, there will be Americans over there, and it's making it harder to do that job for them. So I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
I tell you what, I wish we'd either fight it or get out. I mean, either do it or don't do it. But what's this? I mean, we learned that in Vietnam. You can't fight halfway, can you?
Yeah, that's what we did learn in Vietnam, but, and we lost a lot of people over that, too, because either you're going to do the whole thing and get rid of those people, or you're not. You're not going to pull everybody out. But I think you're going to make some enemies in NATO, too.
So Mike makes the point, though, it's a no-win situation from a political standpoint, and Barack Obama certainly demonstrated that, because I think you're right. I think everybody's mad at him.
It is right now.
All right, you got a breakdown of the debt ceiling talks. It expires August 2nd. Those that have been negotiating say it's time for the Speaker and the President to make some decisions, because the Democrats want to raise taxes. The Republicans say we got to get significant cuts. So the debt ceiling talks at an impasse as of Thursday.
Well, you know, I guess the guy who was leading the talks was Biden, and, you know, that's like talking to the wall, I think. So, I mean, I think that's basically what's happened. So, they've got to do something here. You know, most sides have got to give a little bit. I agree, taxes got to You cannot raise taxes. My God, unemployment, well, this month was about 9,000 added this month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy. So we're not out of this thing yet. So until we get out of it, I wouldn't do anything.
I think that government, I haven't seen any serious attempts at making it smaller, which is what we want. There's not been a real, there's been a lot of talk. I think there are a few people that are serious. They'll raise the debt limit, Steve, and they may raise taxes too, but I don't think it'll do any good because they're not going to raise it enough to make a difference in the amount of money they're spending. We're 24% of the GDP, something like $3.5 trillion out of the $14 trillion we've gotten. It's going to surpass that. Our debt's going to surpass what we produce each year, and that's where we're headed towards the plight of Greece on the track we're on, and
yeah.
We all know it, but nobody has the discipline to do anything about it that I've seen yet, but there's always tomorrow, Steve.
Yeah, so you're not buying the fact that any real cuts will be made?
No. Oh, they had more of a cut in our budget than any time since World War II. They only went up 4%.
Yeah, it went up 4%.
Yeah, that was the cut.
Yeah.
So that's where we are. That's where we are. That was 2 months ago. There's no real change because I don't think anyone believes it's going to be that bad or knows what's going to happen. But I think everybody is concerned.
All right, next issue. We talk about the president and him releasing 30 million barrels from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. And, Johnny, let me read you from a column today in Fox News. It was an editorial, and I'm going to quote this. I'll get both you and Mike's reaction to this. He says, as Thomas Pyle from Fox News says, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is our country's first line of defense in the event of oil supply disruption, not an ATM machine that the president can draw from when he needs to boost his poor approval ratings. It seems the president's willingness to play politics with the security asset has more to do with his quest for a second term than any desire to see Americans pay less to gas up. What's your reaction to that, Johnny?
Well, I think that's 100% correct. I don't know that he's playing politics as much. He's playing politics, but I don't know whether that's the biggest concern in my mind. It's that I don't think he gets it. That oil is for an emergency, Steve, and knocking the price of the barrel down $5 isn't going to make or break anybody. And gasoline down 30 cents isn't either. Not getting any or not having any for the country could be a problem, and that's what the Strategic Oil Reserve is for. It is not to influence the market and drive gasoline prices down a quarter. So just not a very smart move, and it's probably not going to do a whole lot for his poll numbers. So,
did I hear right? Did they say that amount of oil was only like a 3-day supply or something for all the needs of our country? Is that what it comes down to? I don't know. I heard something like that on Fox today, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing because that seems like a lot of oil.
Yeah, it's a lot of oil, Mike. I got bad news though. It's like a day and a half.
The world
uses 70 to 80 million barrels a day, and the U.S. is 20 to 25 million, I believe.
Mm.
So we've always been 20-25% of it, which is one reason we're accused of being kind of oil hogs. But you know, hey, we got places to go, people to see.
Well, and then let me say the editorial went on to say, rather than draw down on these limited resources, the president ought to speed up the red tape entangled permitting process for offshore drilling projects at home and increase lease sales to domestic revenues and go after the billions and billions of barrels we do have here.
Absolutely.
Well, I think John would agree with that, and I would agree with that too, but I don't know what. But then again, you're trying to please every side. You're trying to please the environmentalists. That's why you're not doing it, and it's not going to work. Somewhere, you know, you got to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm going to make a hard call here. You know, Abe Lincoln made a hard call. You know, Ronald Reagan made a hard call. John F. Kennedy made a hard call. Dwight Eisenhower made a hard call. You're going to have to make a hard call, and it's not going to be popular with everybody, but you got to do it.
Well, we just need that oil, and we don't have that much in the reserve. I don't think we have as much as we should have, so selling it off isn't a good thing. Clinton did a little of that, and I'm not 100% sure Bush didn't, if you want to be honest.
Yeah,
but
the
general idea of selling it isn't a good idea, and then we'll go buy it and put it back and pay the $100 a barrel for it. So I don't think it's a good move, and I don't think it'll have that much impact.
Well,
so.
I mean, I've heard people say that they feel the president is over his head. You think that he knows what he's doing, or we're reaching a little bit here?
Well, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not saying that the president knows all about anything, any president. But if you don't, if you're in a position where you don't know about certain things, don't you think it behooves you to go out and bring in the best advisors possible, not some cronies? I mean, really, you got to get the best people involved in this to know what they're talking about. And they might have to give you once in a while an answer you're not going to particularly like. But it would be the right answer. What's the matter with that? Is that common sense? Or are we totally devoid of that in our country?
Yeah, you know, and I was talking to Steve Mike. I actually feel a little sorry for the president. He's not a corrupt man, certainly. I mean, he's spent $5 trillion more than he's got in Illinois, the brokest state in the union. If he's corrupt, we'd be doing a little bit better than that as his home state, you would think. So, and he's not. He seems to have integrity. He's a true believer, but his philosophies weren't correct. And I think he's trying to come to terms with, why isn't any of this working? He truly believed it would work, and it was never going to work. And the people he surrounded himself with also had similar philosophies, which don't work. And he didn't have a track record or practical experience. And that's why he seems over his head, and he probably is. I tell you what, though, well, Steve, anybody in the Oval Office is in over their head right now. That job is going to...
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, it's no use beating the man up. I'm just saying that I just know if... Gosh, if I don't know anything about the coaching offensive line, I'm going to give me the best offensive line coach possible.
Yeah.
And I'm going to listen to him. I'm gonna listen to him. What are we doing this year? Yeah, you tell me. You tell me. Okay, we're gonna do that because you know more about that than I do. So I mean, that's the only thing I'm saying.
Here's the problem. The campaign for the presidency is really more like a survivor show or running for prom king in high school. It's not the president, and he's probably one of the best campaigners you're ever gonna see on the campaign trail. He can shut down Guantanamo, end the two wars America has, cut the deficit in half, and provide 3 million jobs. In the Oval Office, he loses 2.5 million jobs. He triples the deficit. There's a third war, and nothing's working. Guantanamo's clicking along as if he never existed.
Yeah.
So that's a tough situation to be in, and we elected him. Look, we thought...
We got to understand, you got to blame it all on Bush. And then maybe you blame it on his father, and blame it on Clinton, and blame it on everybody beforehand. And that's the only thing that bugs me. You know, stand up like a man. You know, you've been into this job long enough now. You know, you get your guys to quit defending you on issues where you shouldn't be defended. I mean, this is not a good administration. Things are happening in our country. We are worse off now than we were 3 years ago.
That's what people think, and that's a bad poll number. But we learned from mistakes. When we have a problem with the lift, or Mike, you lost the game, you sat down and said, what in the world did we do wrong? You can't say, well, he didn't block, or that guy must have cheated. You got to get to the root problem, and you've got to listen to what did I do wrong? What you have to learn, and then say, I got to change what I'm doing, or you're not gonna have any success. And I don't know how much he's been able to do that, but Steve, it's tough, and he came in at a tough time. I'll give him that.
Yeah,
but.
Well,
he's the one that said he could fix it.
Well, we're all getting to the overflowing level of total fatigue of hearing about, you know, it was worse than I thought, and it's all George Bush's fault is essentially the implication, and that just doesn't wear anymore. It just doesn't wear anymore.
No, it does
wear with the liberals. I mean, you saw that Jonathan Stewart guy in the interview. I mean, it's like that. It does. I mean, really, it does. I mean, they're going to go to their grave believing this stuff because that's what they think. That's their out. You know, we can't change. We can't make it better because the guys before screwed up so bad it's impossible. And that's what they're saying. So, I mean, after a while, you just get tired of it. You know, common sense. Let's get a dose of common sense. That's all.
We'll be right back with our remaining moments. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3 is the new Connect FM. I'm Stevie J. Let's check on the Wall Street now. It's 7:50, 10 till 8. All right, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, and we have a few more minutes left in the program. Let's switch over to the cigarette packs. They're going to put graphic pictures on cigarette packs like your ugly lungs and ugly faces. Is this going to get people to quit smoking, Mike?
Well, you know, Steve, I think it's foolish. I mean, I don't care what they do, but people who want to smoke are going to smoke, period. Those who don't, they'll quit. I mean, people who try to quit, maybe they'll... might be more apt to try if they saw something like, but I doubt it. I just think people who smoke, they go to smoke. I don't care if you put the devil on there.
Yeah, I tend to react. My reaction, of course, is that I'm thinking of starting smoking. But, you know, I think it's kind of, they're not illegal.
But then today you have, you know, Ron Paul and Barney Frank suggesting to legalize marijuana. Well, I thought they didn't want me to smoke. I'm confused here.
Well, it's not illegal to smoke, and I think there's a limit to how much you can beat up a smoker, I guess is what I'm saying. But it's not a good habit, and you should try to quit if you can.
Yeah.
It's a terrible habit. It's a terrible habit. There's no question about it. But then again, you know, it's fine if that's what they want to do. But then again, to me, it's more government interference in people's lives. Telling them what they can and can't do.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I just, it's fine. I don't smoke. I mean, I smoke a cigar, but I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't like to. My wife does. And believe me, she wears them out. Now, that's her choice. She made that choice. And if it affects her, she's got to understand that. I mean, anybody that smokes got to understand. There can be consequences, rather.
Right.
All right, let's go to the NFL talks. All indications that I'm reading, Mike, there's progress and there's hope that Johnny's New Orleans Saints will play the Green Bay Packers on schedule the first Thursday night of the NFL season. I mean, are they going to figure this out? It feels like they might.
I would say, only in my opinion right now, I would say that within the next 10 to 14 days, they'll have the deal done.
Hey.
I think they have it done in that period of time. To get everything done. And I think they're heading in the right direction. I think both sides are starting to understand now that there's going to be a little give and take on both sides.
Well, Stevie, this is big news because the first home opener for the Saints following the opener for the NFL up in Green Bay is the Chicago Bears at New Orleans.
Whoa! Hey, that ought to be great. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's going to be a good game. That's a little bit of a rivalry, if you want to know the truth. But Bears have handed us our helmets on the platter the last three or four times we played them.
Wow.
And it's all been in Chicago in the cold. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's very large optimism, and I think, you know, for good reason, Mike, you've said for months they just got to figure this thing out. There's too many people dependent on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a right way to do it. I mean, there's got to find some money for the retired players. That's part of the fact. They got to put a rookie salary cap in of some type. Those are things that are very, very important. I think, you know, the sharing of the money, I don't think that's the biggest issue possible. I think they can do that intelligently, and both sides will be happy. I think some of these other things that are the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping they get their negotiations done. It does sound like they kind of played out their strategies, and maybe they're ready to get back to work.
Yeah, they don't have their chest sticking out so far right now. They're starting to be real, you know.
That's a plus.
And then, of course, we carry the Cardinals here on this radio station, Mike, and the Albert Pujols injury rocked us all. Oh, my.
Well, you know, it has. And when you look at Major League Baseball, and I'm only say one thing, the two best teams, you know, and I don't know a lot about a lot. I follow the Yankees because I like them. But Boston and Philadelphia have the two best pitching staffs in baseball.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, they're formidable. Those two teams are formidable. I mean, the Phillies, I mean, they got guys to throw beeps, and they got enough people to get hit. So does Boston. So right now, you know, I got to think they're their favorites. I don't know. You know, I look at your team, and you know, the White Sox are playing hard. You know, I look at the Cubs. The Cubs don't have the horses to win the race.
Yeah.
They can't even run the race.
Yeah.
And St. Louis is a very good team when they have Pujols.
Right.
When they have all their guys. They don't have them all right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that is bad news, Stevie, and for the whole sport.
Yeah.
You know, you always
the thing is so sad about the whole thing, you know, and I, you know, the you know, they didn't do a contract extension. No, he put it on hold. He didn't want to do it now. So it's kind of interesting, you know, and he's not getting any younger. And this is pretty interesting what happened to him now, because this is going to be a good 6 weeks. And I, even though he said, I think I could swing the bat now, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mike, you're very gracious being in Denver, going here, going there. I remember when you were filming Kicking and Screaming, you'd call me from the set 5 in the morning. From Studio City. I mean, you're just a great guy to go to all these lengths to be on with us. We really appreciate all your insights. Johnny, you as well. We really appreciate all the stuff you're doing and to get together to solve the problems of the world twice a week. We really appreciate both of you.
Well, I love you guys. Take care. I love you. Take care. Have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you Monday.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it. That's Hall of Famer Mike Ditka and Brother Johnny, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, right here on 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.